Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NERSA, has formally published Eskom's much-anticipated and much-criticized allowable revenue application for the coming 3 years ahead of what is likely to be a very, very difficult consultation process. Vali Padiyachi is on the line with us. He's an energy expert and former City Power executive. Thank you so much, Mr. Padiyachi, again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and thank you for inviting me to your show. I'm much appreciated.
Thank you. As I said in my intro, it's likely to be a very, very difficult, maybe even hostile consultation process by Eskom, NERSA, as well as us, who are supposed to be adding value to this thing. I mean, your sense of this 36% increase, your take on whether this is reasonable? Are we crazy for thinking it's unreasonable?
Well, I wouldn't say you're crazy, but I would say that if you're speaking to someone like myself who's been in this field for many decades and who currently still works very closely with municipalities and Eskom on a day-to-day basis, I would say that the increase that Eskom's putting on the table, of course, I can't comment, because I don't talk on behalf of Eskom, that the increase, the quantum, maybe that 36% Eskom needs to defend it, but the I increase, right, I would say is a reasonable take by Eskom, and I can explain that, because it's for many decades. Mm. And I want to try and keep it as simple as possible so I don't confuse the public, that for many decades, both Eskom and municipalities, in their tariff applications, when the applications were eventually pronounced by NERSA, there's two main aspects, right? It's your cost-reflective tariff versus your affordable tariffs. Mm-hmm. And in the initial years, I'm going back about 20 years ago, even longer, when the cost of electricity was right down, the gap between the affordable tariff and the cost-effective tariff was very small. Mm-hmm. So there was not much of issues, and people could absorb it, people in industry, etc. But later on, as the cost started going through the roof, it's like about 600% in 9 years, and that gap started increasing, and then NERSA, as part of their mandate and duties, started decreasing the I cost-effective tariffs for each year, and because they wanted to keep the tariffs affordable, which made sense. Mm-hmm. But unlike the private sector, what happened here with the utilities, Eskom and the municipality, if, for example, say Eskom asked for 30% increase as a cost-effective tariff, NERSA generally gave them, I don't know, say 10%. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that 20% got lost. Nobody, the general comment, took care of that. Mm-hmm. So over the years, Pamela, that thing started accumulating. And you need to run a business, and that's nothing like free lunch. Mm, mm. And that started accumulating. Of course, we had corruption, state capture, cost going on the roof. Yeah. So now, the bad news is that, and by Eskom's own admission, that 36% is on the low side.
Sure.
They haven't asked for the full, full break even tariff.
So,
let me leave it there.
I think it makes perfect sense, because I think that's exactly the point of why we're having this conversation. For all of us to be on the same page about this 36% sounds so huge, but how we got here in the first place. And of course, the public keeps talking about the fact that we keep bailing Eskom out. So Eskom needs to be sustainable itself in the long run at some point. And we need to catch up with these very low tariffs that we've been paying. The others have also argued that part of the problem is the cost of coal that Eskom uses. Maybe your take on that.
Well, cost of coal, we're still cheap. You know, in South Africa, our coal is still relatively cheaper compared to other countries. Let me just make one statement before I forget it, Pamela, is that when you talk about tariffs, we're talking about efficient cost-effective tariffs,
mm-hmm.
because there's still a lot of there could still be a lot of inefficiencies
mm-hmm.
in the business.
Yes.
And that's how to dedicate that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that's, yeah. To make it simple, we talk about efficient cost-effective tariffs.
Yeah.
So to get back to your point, coal is relatively cheap, but coal is also one of the cost drivers.
Mm.
But there are many other cost drivers, Pamela, that's contributing to this high efficient application, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, Eskom, as we know, has a huge debt to repay.
Mm-hmm.
So the debt management, servicing that debt is huge. Eskom has been borrowing a lot, albeit the government is bailing them.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost of capital,
mm-hmm.
primary energy, you talk about coal, but also primary energy for the last few years also includes the purchase of renewables.
Mm-hmm.
IPPs, and that, I said to be correct, is about 66 billion rand, not million, billion rand on the application, depreciation, research and development, integrated. So there's a whole host of parameters that contributes to what we call the cost to serve, which is not generally, you get that from a cost of supply study, and that contributes to this tariff application.
So when what will it take to balance out the scale for Eskom to at some point get to a point where it's a bit stable? As you said, you know, we've got to remember it's got to run like a business. It's stable and we can almost steadily increase with inflation, you know, the cost eventually to the customer.
I'm glad you mentioned the word balance, because one of the key roles of the regulator by law is to be fair, balance the needs, aspirations of the country, of the end-use customer, of the utility, etc. Now, Pamela, I would hate to be in the shoes of the regulator now for this particular process, because I'm of the opinion they're going to be damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Yeah.
Right? So what do I mean by that in very simple terms? They may not grant the 36%. And, of course, you know, the municipalities, because they buy from Eskom, they're looking at a 43% increase, right? So they may not grant that 36% or the 43% that goes with it. But I can't see them to be balanced, granting them a traditional increase, which is far lower than what they applied for. So even if they give them 20-25%, it's quite high, because why NERSA may have to do that, and I don't talk to NERSA, is that if they grant them a too low tariff, like 10% versus 36%, then I would argue, I say this respectfully, they are being irresponsible. Because then you're sending Eskom, and I'm using some harsh words here, and the municipalities down that debt spiral into bankruptcy.
So, I mean, it's a catch-22, because as you absolutely are saying it, that if the regulatory allocation is lower than what actually is needed, then, as you said, you know, you really are sending them to a really difficult place. However, from the customer's point of view, even if we may agree, people are struggling to pay right now. Customers are struggling to pay electricity. So you know, again, that balance issue. Mr. Pariachi?
No, I'm here. Now, that's an excellent comment you made, right? So that's an excellent comment. Now, let me also make my comment.
Yes.
I totally agree. You cannot, let's assume that, well, I don't think it happened, but if NASA grants this 76%, you can't pass that into the marketplace.
Mm.
And you can't pass the 43% because inter alia, it'll mess up the economy.
Yeah.
It'll mess up the lives of the poor people. And then in South Africa, we have about, on average, about 95% poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what needs to happen? And yeah, I'm going to give you an independent,
yes,
maybe an expert point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what needs to happen, and so strategically, there needs to be a convergence
mm-hmm.
of the cost-effective tariff mm-hmm. and the affordable tariff. So because at the moment, it's like a paradoxical dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are moving divergent.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to converge, but in real terms. So what needs to happen, and this can only be done by government, in my opinion, because ESCOM and the ministers can't do this on their own. The government needs to step in. Actually, they should have stepped in this matter many years ago. And they need to, and they need to be very innovative about this. They need to be pragmatic about this and come up with methodologies and subsidies, etc. Although the fiscus is constrained, but government has to make a plan because nobody else can do it and get to a level where they do not throw the baby away with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that is that, by whatever innovative means they do it, right, they are able to still facilitate that gap between the affordable tariff and the cost-effective tariff is made up to the utilities, meaning ESCOM
mm-hmm.
and the municipalities, so that they continue to be sustainable, because the essence of the tariff application is a revenue regime, and that revenue regime is to keep them sustainable.
Mm.
So the government has to do that on the one step, provide some means so that the ESCOM and the municipalities, like the private sector, is sustainable, while at the same time they go to apply a methodology or subsidies or whatever it is that cushions the impact on the end-use customer, as well as industry, commercial, etc. So my thinking on this is that you need to get to, and maybe it's another value for the actual term that I'm coining, another virtual cost-effective stroke affordable tariff, where it's a virtual tariff where
mm-hmm.
everybody, there are winners and winners. But the pragmatic and the reality is that government, for example, has stepped in
mm-hmm.
and has provided some means for cost effectivity to be implemented, as well as affordable tariff to be implemented. So that's what I'm saying, for want of a better word, there would be that virtual cost-effective stroke affordable tariff.
Interesting
position. And behind that would be the innovative methodologies and all of that.
Interesting. I find that very, very interesting. Thank you. Thanks. A lot of food for thought there for us. Energy expert and former ESCOM and City Power executive Vadi Pariachi just giving us some thoughts on what this may look like. So, of course, as you know, we're all encouraged to go and do public participation. Go and add your comments, even if it's just verbal. Go there, be part of it so that you don't stand back tomorrow and say, well, you know, this is what they've done. We are also part of the solution.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.